Good morning, everybody. Good morning. And it's lovely to see you all here this morning, and good morning to those of you on Zoom. Just a few notices before we begin our church service this morning. Just want to say thank you to everybody who was involved in our prayer day yesterday. We had a fabulous time. If those of you that came, thank you. Those that helped set it up and run it, thank you. You'll see around the room that we've left some of the things around for you to see. The craft room, the private prayer room, the forgiveness room is still set up. So those of you that didn't have the opportunity to experience it yesterday, if you'd like to after service, Matt and Maxine will be hanging around so that you can take part if you'd like to. The leaves are still available in the meeting room if you'd like to add your prayer to our prayer tree. Oh, Pete, you're switching me off. What are you doing? I haven't finished yet. We are raising money for Ukraine as a church. Heather Burton has been making some amazing dragonflies in the Ukraine colours. They are for sale at £4 each in the meeting room this morning. We also have envelopes marked with Ukraine if you'd like to make a donation to the Tear Fund appeal, which will go to the DEC because they're part of that. They're in the meeting room today as well. If you haven't come prepared, because this is obviously a new thing, then next week is fine. And again, if you want to donate direct into the church bank account, mark it for Ukraine, and then Andrew will put all the money together, along with £100 from church funds, and we will send that off to help the people of Ukraine. Church is unfortunately out of bounds this week. We are having the new heating system installed. So after today until Friday, the church building will be out of bounds. So unfortunately, we've had to cancel building blocks and our prayer meeting this week due to the electricity being off and the noise. So we apologise for that, but at least we will have some heat just as it's getting nice and sunny. Trailblazer Family Film Night is on Friday night. Everybody is welcome to join that. If you are prepared to help to prepare communion, it's once a month, then please see me afterwards. If we could get a team together, then the job would be not as hard for those of us that do it every month. Nick, I'm very pleased to say, will be starting at Regent's Park College, Oxford, on the 1st of September. He had his interview on Friday and was accepted. So that's brilliant news. So he will be starting as our student minister in September, and Peter will pray for him later on in the service. And finally, just a reminder that the clocks spring forward next Sunday. So don't forget, otherwise you'll arrive at church late. Thank you.
Yes, thank you. It's Mothering Sunday next Sunday, isn't it? So you've got to think about your mother. Yeah. My mother likes a chocolate orange and no card. Well, you can't eat a card, can you, she says. So I go for the chocolate orange. I've got my whale. Remember I said I had a whale tie last time and I couldn't find it? So I'm not preaching on Jonah again, but there's my whale tie, just so you know I've got one. I found that out this morning. So we come to the Lord's table this morning, eventually, but we come to worship the Lord, we come to hear his word, and we come to make our responses, personally and indeed as a church. The Bible says, seek the Lord while he may be found, call upon him while he is near. Let the wicked forsake their way and the unrighteous one their thoughts. Let them return to the Lord, that he may have mercy on them. And to our God, who will abundantly pardon. And so we come to our Lord with our sins, our failures, and we come and seek pardon and a blessing as we move forward. We're going to begin with our first hymn, Crown Him with Many Crowns. We're going to bring our prayers of praises to God. We live in a chaotic world. And yet, as we've just sung, and I'm going to read a couple of verses from Revelation, we live in a world that is God's world. If you read the book of Isaiah, there was always a king in the north who was coming down and invading the nation and taking away people as slaves. And Isaiah continued to say, God is God, and he remains in charge, and we must trust him. So let's pray. Jesus said, I am the Alpha and the Omega, who is and who was and who is to come. And John says, when I saw him, I felt his feet as though dead. Then he placed his right hand on me and said, do not be afraid, for I am the first and last. I am the living one. I was dead, and behold, I'm alive forever and ever. And I hold the keys of death and Hades. Lord Jesus, we come this morning to you to focus on just who you are. You didn't just live and died and then went away. You sit seated at the right hand of God. You sit there and you intercede for us on our behalf. You are aware of our frailty and our sins. You know what we're like. And you love us and you continue to offer us forgiveness and grace. Lord, we pray this morning that we might be willing to reach out for that grace, to recognise our own failures and misdeeds and disappointments. We are disappointments to you, Lord, and we disappoint ourselves sometimes. And we come this morning to seek your forgiveness in our lives and your cleansing. And we pray, Lord, that you will never take your Spirit from us, that you will enable us, having received your grace and mercy and forgiveness, like King David, to be willing to tell others and share with others the good news of Jesus, to share your salvation, to give sinners the chance themselves also to know you and love you and serve you. And so we give you thanks now for your goodness to us, the love that we've experienced this week, the times we can look back on and recognise that you were there with us. You've always been with us. You never leave us, you never forsake us. You're always the one who cares and who knows and who understands. And yes, Lord, even if we don't realise it, you carry us. So we pray this morning that you would accept our thanks, accept our praise. Help us to remind ourselves just who you are. And indeed, Lord, to put our trust and confidence and faith surely and certainly in you. So in the uncertainty of this world, in the difficulties that we face personally in many situations, we pray, Lord, a special blessing. And as this service progresses, we pray, Lord, that your peace will descend upon us and we shall go on our way, blessed and as a light and reflection of your love to the people we shall meet this week. Lord, hear our prayers because we ask them in Jesus' name. Amen. Now, I know there's no children's talk anymore. There's no children, and the children that are here are quite little, really. It's nice to see your baby. I always call babies Malcolm because it's much easier that you haven't got to remember the names. So it is nice to see Malcolm here this morning. But I just thought I'd remind you, it is Lent. I don't know if you've given chocolate up. Has anyone given anything much up? No, I don't give chocolate up, no. But if you have given things up, then Friday this week you can have a day off because Friday is the festival of the Annunciation when Jesus was conceived. It's the festival when they celebrate Jesus being conceived into the world. And so from Friday onwards, if you like, Jesus is with us, so the Catholic Church would say. But it's just a reminder to us as we come during Lent to perhaps use this time wisely. I don't know about you, but just sometimes, if you want a chicken for dinner, you have to get it out of the freezer, don't you, in good time. Do you know that, don't you? You've experienced not doing that, haven't you? We had a Christmas once when we took the turkey out 2 days before, but the weather was so cold and it was standing in the garage that it never thawed out to the day after Boxing Day. And that's what happens sometimes, isn't it? So I just want to say to you, if you think of your chicken that you don't get out the freezer or the turkey that you want to defrost, if you think how important it is for that piece of meat to stand in the sensible temperature, a reasonable temperature, the right temperature, for long enough for the heat to do its business, that I think is a good picture to me of Lent, when we can actually put ourselves, hopefully, in God's presence a bit more than we do normally. Allow God to be more, a bigger version of himself in our lives. When we simply rest in his presence and allow his Spirit to fill us and to dwell in us again. Because I'll be honest with you, my heart's pretty cold. And without the warmth of God's Spirit, I do sense that I'm not going to be any good. I'm not going to be useful. I'm not going to be able to pass on the love of God in Jesus Christ. And so I do hope and I do pray that perhaps every day, not just Lent, but Lent's a good opportunity to just check what you're doing. Make sure that God is an important part of your life. Allow a bit more time maybe for your Bible readings each day. Perhaps I've been reading a psalm each night before I go to bed, just something a bit different to allow God to have his way and allow his spirit to just thaw us out and make us the people that he wants us to be, the light in a dark world. A preparation for Easter and a preparation for the future and all that God has planned. So may this be a time when during Lent, during this time of 40 days, may be a time when we can truly draw closer to God. And I know he will draw closer to us. So we're going to sing My Jesus, My Saviour. We're going to sing it through twice. My daughter had this at her baptism about 20 years ago now, and it was quite a... I've always liked it ever since then. So we'll stand to sing, and we'll sing it through twice. I'm then going to jump to verse 14. But I just want to say, I planned this a long time ago, actually. When I was given the preaching dates and I was told I could do what I like on the 20th of March, I decided I would do it on this story. And then Annalisa said to me a few weeks ago, you'll make sure you do prayer, won't you, on the Sunday the 20th, because we're doing a prayer day the day before. So I think it fits in. See what you think. You'll tell me afterwards, no doubt. You'll tell me afterwards. After 6 days, Jesus took with him Peter, James, and John, the brother of James, and led them up to a high mountain by themselves. There he was transfigured before them. His face shone like the sun. His clothes became as white as the light. Just then there appeared before them Moses and Elijah talking to Jesus. Peter said to Jesus, "Lord, it's good for us to be here. If you wish, I'll put up 3 shelters, one for you, one for Moses, and one for Elijah." While he was still speaking, a bright cloud enveloped them. And a voice from the cloud said, "This is my son who I love, with whom I am well pleased. Listen to him." And when the disciples heard this, they fell face down to the ground, terrified. Then they came down the mountain. And when they came to the crowd, a man approached Jesus and knelt before him. "Lord," he said, "have mercy on my son. He has seizures. He's suffering greatly. He often falls into the fire or into water. I brought him to your disciples, but they could not heal him." "Oh, unbelieving and perverse generation," Jesus replied. "How long shall I stay with you? How long shall I put up with you? Bring the boy here to me." Jesus rebuked the demon, and it came out of the boy, and he was healed from that moment. Then the disciples came to Jesus privately and asked, "Why couldn't we drive it out?" And he replied, "Because you have little faith. I tell you the truth. If you have faith as small as a mustard seed, you can say to this mountain, 'Move from here to there,' and it will move. For nothing is impossible for you. But this kind does not come except by prayer and fasting." May God add his blessing to his word. We're going to pray now for others. We're going to pray for Ukraine. If you saw the question time on Thursday night, I don't watch question time usually because I can't sleep afterwards, but I did watch it. It was from Kettering. It was from the KLV in Kettering, and it was quite difficult because there was the Deputy Prime Minister from Ukraine there, and it did prevent the people around the table from being as stupid as they usually are. Let's put it like that. They realised they couldn't just say things because it was just words. And this woman had her whole life on the line. Her whole country is in danger. And you suddenly realise that words and actions are very different. And so when we come to pray for Ukraine this morning, it's a very difficult thing to do, isn't it? Because it's a very difficult situation. And prayer doesn't seem... Well, us saying a few things in this room doesn't seem enough. But when we do involve God... And when we invite him to get involved, I do believe that things do change. So we're going to pray for Ukraine, we're going to pray for Nick, and we're going to pray for some of the things that are happening here at the church, that God may bless us as we seek to move forward. Let's pray. Father God, we come to you this morning because we believe in the power of prayer. We don't just say we do. Lord, we do believe that when there are situations in our lives... that you need to be involved. And Lord, we want you involved. We want your will to be done. We want to pray that your kingdom comes and your will is done in our life, in the life of our church, in the life of our nation, and in the life of this world that you have created and for which you have given your life. Lord, we think this morning of so many situations that pop into our mind, personal situations, situations concerning our family maybe, work situations, concerns that we have for this or that. And first of all, Lord, we would think of the nation of Ukraine. But we did pray for that dreadful events that are taking place in that country at this time. We don't know how to pray sometimes, but we do pray for your peace. We pray for your presence. And Lord, we desire, Lord, that you're in that situation, that you are there. You don't observe like we do, but Lord, you're in that situation to bring help and healing and blessing. We have heard of people who have prayed and you have blessed them already in those horrible situations. And we pray, Lord, for your continued presence in that country. But Lord, most of all, we would pray for peace. We would pray that hostilities would stop. And that somehow this chaos that has been created can be sorted out. Lord, we pray in the name of Jesus that you would act in this situation. We come, Lord, too, and we think of the nation to which we belong. And we pray for our leaders, those who are responsible for us. We pray for our Queen. She continues to suffer frailty as she ages. We pray for our Prime Minister and all who are called to govern us, both locally and nationally. Give wisdom. And may it be that people are recognised as people who lead in your name, as it were. Elected and therefore given the responsibility of leadership and decision making. We pray for this church and we thank you for the things that are happening, for the evidence that we see of the new fence going up, of the heating coming in, of the lighting being fixed. Lord, things that we need to see as we look forward to the future. We thank you too for the news we had of Nick being accepted by Regents. Lord, we've accepted him, the association has accepted him, Regents has accepted him. There's nothing now that will stop him from moving over on the 1st of September to become our minister in training. Lord, we give him into your hands this morning, that he and Dawn and the family might know your presence and your strength, that you might be already preparing him and us for this new partnership of 3 years, when we can grow and learn together. We look forward, Lord, to Nick bringing ideas from Regent's Park and from other students and sharing those ideas with us and being amongst us regularly to bless us. Lord, we pray that you would use Nick and indeed use each of us to bring a blessing on this place in the days that lie ahead. And we pray, Lord, for ourselves, for those situations that we are concerned for those who have poor health, for those who are frail, for those who can't be here this morning in person for various reasons. And Lord, we pray that everybody who's connected to this church will know a blessing, that you will be active in their lives, that you would prompt them and bless them and lead them, Lord, at this time. So hear our prayers, Lord. Add your blessing now to the things that we've said publicly and the quiet, silent prayers that we pray in our hearts. Hear us, Lord, because we ask these in the name of Jesus, who told us that if we ask anything in faith, you will hear us. Lord, hear our prayers, because we ask them in Jesus' name. Amen. We're going to sing another hymn before we look at God's word. We're going to sing, Lord, I lift your name on high. And we're going to sing this through twice as well. We're going to have a look at God's word this morning. It's a passage that's familiar. It took place about halfway through Jesus' ministry as he was heading towards Jerusalem. And just to sort of illustrate, I want to just talk about a problem my son's got. I had a deal with my son some years ago. He's 37 now, but when I used to preach when he was littler, he used to say, because my son Sam, he's been a source of massive inspiration to me in preaching. And he used to say that if I used him as an illustration, it would cost £1 a time. That's what he used to say. And I remember the church secretary at Burton Latimer on a number of occasions knew this, and he used to pay him. if I'd used Sam as an illustration, when he saw me, he'd pay him £1. So my son Sam, he's got a problem. He's got an illness, I would call it. And it's range anxiety. He's just bought an electric car. Okay. I know. I told him not to, but, I mean, I told him not to buy a house in Bulgaria, but he was going to go ahead. But you know, he comes round, I mean, he used to come round my house, and when he got round the house, he'd go in the fridge and see what was to eat. But now, he goes in the garage and plugs his car in. I mean, that's what he does, because, you see, the trouble is, it only does 130 miles on a charge. Now, that's not too bad, is it? But in the cold weather, if his wife puts the heater on, it drops down to 80. So you can imagine the debates they have. You can imagine what the journeys are like. You're not putting that heater on, we might not get home. Or we've got to go Tesco and shop while it charges up. And he genuinely sits now and his first question is, am I going to get home? Or where can I go? Or where shouldn't I go? And he's just anxious all the time. Now, I tell you this because I'd like to think that that is what you feel when you don't spend some time praying. I'd like to think that you get range anxiety. I'd like to think that when you haven't prayed enough, when you haven't covered a situation in prayer, I'd like to think we get range anxiety, that we are very much aware we're going into a situation when we haven't filled up with God. Now, I know that isn't how the world lives these days. We tend to live in a world where we think we can get away with it or we can do it. But Jesus is our example. He used to get up early in the morning and he used to go off and pray because he knew the day would require constant giving out of energy, and he needed to be topped up. And you and I are in exactly that same situation. We cannot. I know it'd be nice, as you get older and become better Christians, it would be nice to think that you can get away with it. But my experience is that however many times you fill the car up, if you use it, you've got to fill it up again, whether it's petrol, diesel or electric. We do need the energy that God gives us. And this morning, I think as we look at this passage, we learn a lot about such things. To live a proper Christian life, to be part of the kingdom of God, to be able to extend God's kingdom and speak words that people hear. You know what I mean? I mean, my daughter Alison, she doesn't listen to a word you say. Never has. She has to find it out for herself, and she admits that. You may as well talk to yourself when you tell her not to do something or to do something, because she just doesn't listen. She learns in her own way. And she's, you know, that's how I learn, Dad. And she's 40 in a few weeks, and she still hasn't learned. She hasn't learned. Do you know what I mean? I even pointed it out to her yesterday, and she said, well, you know what I'm like, Dad. And I do. I do know exactly what she's like. But I suppose we say the same to God, don't we? You know what we're like. And God does know what we're like. And he still loves us, just as I love my children. But it would be nice if you didn't have to watch your daughter go through all these rigmarole of pain just because she didn't make the wisest choice. Now look, these disciples in this story, and it's the second half of the story I want to concentrate on, these nine disciples at the bottom of the mountain when Jesus was up being transfigured with the other three, these nine disciples weren't unused to being in a situation where they were called to heal. Earlier on in the gospel, they were sent out. They were sent out in twos, and they healed, and they preached, and they saw God's kingdom come, and they were part of all that Jesus did. But you get the feeling, maybe, they become a little bit complacent. There's nothing worse than a little bit of success. I was reading a story the other day about gambling, and a man said the biggest problem he had was the first time he gambled a pound in a betting shop, he won 70 quid. And it was a disaster, because he's always expected to repeat that. And he's lost thousands over the years. Now, just because we have a little bit of, just because we say a prayer and God answers a prayer, doesn't mean to say that we've got a new relationship with God. We have to continue to fill up. We have to continue to say our prayers and to give ourselves into his hands and to allow him to have the last say. I don't just mean the last say on things that are spiritual. You know, I want to say to you, if you book a holiday, pray first. Whatever you do, pray first. Because these things, as God's people, we are called to live our lives in his way, to meet the people he wants us to meet, to be in the right places at the right time. I used to talk at Carey about, I still pray for a car parking space when I go somewhere. I know it sounds silly. I don't think you can pray for football results. I think that's not right. Although my son did once ask the minister to pray for Ipswich Town when they were losing 1-0. And he did ask him if he would pray that there'd be a goal. And they scored in the last minute. And then my son Sam said to me, "Why didn't I ask for 2 goals? Which is fair enough, isn't it, really? He wasn't brave enough, was he? But I don't think football results are what you should pray for. But the number of times I've prayed for a parking space. If you live in Kettering, you have to pray for parking spaces, because there aren't many. And then you go up the town, and suddenly someone pulls out, and you pull in, and you get out the car, and you bump into the very person you've been wanting to bump into for a long time. Those sort of things I find happen to me a lot. And I want to suggest that even parking the car has got a spiritual dimension to it. I do believe that. But ordinary things, we must pray. We must pray as Psalm 31 tells us. You know, psalmist says, "My life and times are in your hands, O Lord." And I think we must recognise that somehow. Now, these disciples, they spent a lot of time with Jesus. They'd said their prayers and they'd seen a lot of blessings. But on this occasion, I think they become a little bit complacent, a little bit blasé. They're with Jesus. They're with God. They're friends with Jesus. They've seen miracles. And they perhaps think they don't need to keep up the charging, the praying. And so when this man comes to them with this boy who's in need of healing, the disciples suddenly find that they can't do it. They no doubt pass him around and they try and put hands on him, maybe, whatever they do. The whole thing is absolute chaos and it goes wrong. It fails. And these disciples, they are in a bit of a state when Jesus gets down. So Jesus gets down and he's quite cross. He is quite cross. You don't think of Jesus being cross, do you? But he comes down and says, "Why are you so useless?" he says. Why you've done these things before? Why is it you don't realise what needs to be done? What is the Christian way? What is God's way? Why is it think you can do these things?" And so he takes over and he heals the boy, and then the disciples, of course, get talking, and they get talking about why it is they couldn't help the lad. And Jesus says two things. He says, "You don't pray. You don't spend time in prayer. You don't pray enough." You know, I've got a man I go and visit who's, I've got a charity I work with, and we go and help people in certain circumstances. And he's only got one leg, and he's been in the army. And that's difficult, isn't it? Because they go left, right, don't they, in the army? And it's difficult when you've only got one leg. So he's, and I think to myself, when I left his house the other day, I thought to myself, when you're in the army, The sergeant major just shouts left, left, left. So he'd be all right, wouldn't he? You think. But then you realise that in between every left, there's a right, isn't there? You'd hope there is. So in between your left foot going forward, the next thing that happens is your right foot goes forward. But you know that. You do it automatically. Then you put your left foot forward. So Jesus says two things here. You've got to pray, but that's just the one leg. The other leg is to fast. Now, I don't like the word fast because I feel hungry just saying it, you know? But I don't think Jesus means the fasting that you do during Lent. I don't think he does. You read Isaiah 58 when they were praying to God and they said, "You don't answer us. God doesn't answer." And Isaiah says, "No, because you don't. When you pray, you don't fast. You don't live your life in a godly fashion. You don't deny yourself things in order to put God first. You don't treat people honestly. You don't pay people right. If you bosses who run factories, you don't pay people right." I mean, how is it that the man who runs the care homes, is it Southern Cross, how is it he pays himself £1,500,000 a year? How does he manage to do that when people work 40 hours a week caring for people on £10 an hour? How is it that these people, how is it someone like Putin, who's only ever been paid £60,000 as the president of Russia, has got £200 billion in the bank? How is that? You don't save that sort of money on that sort of... How is it the army, Putin's army, hasn't got decent tyres on because all the oligarchs apparently have taken the money and they spent it on their yachts, and they didn't put tyres onto the tanks on that, and they daren't tell Putin that.
But that's just an extreme example. But in my own life and your life, we can't just say prayers and not live lives that match up to those prayers. There has to be, if you like, an obedience to the Ten Commandments, I would suggest to you. A recognition. So you can't pray a prayer for more money, say, if you're fiddling your tax return. You can't do it. You have to be honest and just and fair. You can't ask that God will send money to the church if you're not giving an honourable gift to the church yourself. You can't do that. God doesn't answer those prayers. And yet if you do give, I have to say to you, I've always tithed. I've always given 10% of my income. I've always done that, right since the days I was a student. It was much easier when my annual income was £485 in 1973 to give 10%. Than it was when I became principal accountant at the Borough Council. It was much easier on a small amount of money. But my principle was that you give to the Lord. And I'll be honest with you, by giving that to the Lord, you don't need to spend much time in prayer on finances. Because you know you've got a deal. You do your bit and he does his bit. And I trust him. I rely on him. I depend on him for finances. And you know, some days some things go wrong and some things don't, but I just trust that if I do the right thing by the Lord and do it promptly. Don't be like people who still haven't paid their tax bill for last year. You know, when I get my tax bill, I pay it in July usually. Long before it needs to get paid. When the Lord needs some money, pay him. If it's due, pay it. Don't hang on to it. It's not yours, it's his. And that's true in so many other areas too of our lives. We have to be people who do the right thing. A friend of mine used to be a deacon at Fuller Baptist Church, and he's gone to live on Lizard Point in Cornwall. He owns a bed and breakfast there, and not frequently because it's a long way to go. But I do go and see him. Now, instead of going to Bible study on a Tuesday night, he launches the Lizard Lifeboat. They launch it on a Tuesday night, every Tuesday night, and they do practice rescues. And sometimes, of course, it's if you ever you do go down that way, you may remember the Penlee lifeboat went down in 1987 with all hands. They all died. And this is the reconstituted Penlee. The Penlee lifeboat stands in Mousel between Penzance and Mousel now as a memorial to those men who gave their lives. But this is the new lifeboat station. So these people are working in some very difficult parts of the world. And what they practice turning the boat over. And then they are self-righting boats. Now, I don't know about you, but I don't think I'd like to be on a lifeboat when it was so rough it turned over completely. And then you were underwater for about 30 seconds. And then within 30 seconds, it rights itself. But these men and women, they're brave people, they know that boat will do that. They know it was built. They know it will respond. They know that if the boat goes upside down, even on a stormy sea, it will right itself within 30 seconds. Now, that's the sort of confidence we need to have in God. Because I'm sure you'll agree with me, God is more reliable than the Lizard House lifeboat. He is. I mean, it's a pretty good boat, costs £2 million, and it's a very nice boat, but God is more reliable and certain than that. And we need to be people who trust in him. We need to deal with our sins. It's not easy to pray to God if our sins are in the way. If our sins are blocking. You know, my wife's hair blocks the shower tube sometimes. I have to get one of these things and push it out, you know? My hair doesn't. but you know, we need to get rid of the blockages that prevent the free movement of God's Spirit in our lives. We can't hold on to sin or not deal with sin and ask God to deal with the situations we're praying for. And worse than that, we can't even not forgive others. The Lord's Prayer tells us we forgive others as God forgives us. So we have to look at the Ten Commandments. You know, we can't be committing adultery with somebody else's wife if we want God to bring blessings and justice in our lives. Read the Ten Commandments. Ask yourself if you're doing them, abiding by them, or seeking to anyway. Look at what we're supposed to be doing in life. And you know, if you buy a washing machine or any other electronic article, you get a list of instructions. You don't look at those instructions and say, well, I know a lot of us men do. I'm not going to read them. I know what to do anyway. You look at the instructions because you want to get the best out of the machine. You want it to work well. You want it to last a long time. And that's why God gives us his instructions. He tells us the things we're supposed to do, not because he wants to limit our lives. He wants our lives to be fruitful and blessed and last a long time and bless others. And so Jesus tells us we've got to do two things. If you want to pray prayers that are going to be, if you want to see success in your life and you want to see blessing in your church, we need to pray prayers and we need to live lives that mirror those prayers. I don't know whether you watch Grantchester. But you know, I like Grantchester, but I do wish the vicar wouldn't keep getting in bed with different women. Because you think to yourself, what value has his sermon got on a Sunday if he's in bed with different women, especially if his bosses, you know, I mean, these things just slip in, don't they? I mean, EastEnders is the worst programme, I think, because just naughty things just slip in as natural. And they shouldn't be there. We shouldn't accept these things as natural and normal. We should, or rather, at least we should recognise them as wrong and not for us. Because that man can't possibly preach a decent sermon or be a blessing to his congregation if he's that sort of person. He can't. God doesn't work like that. So I'm pleased this morning we come to communion. I'm pleased this morning we have a chance to look at our own lives, because let's be honest, so many psalms tell us there's not a single person. Not, it's a terrible thing to say because I think I'm pretty good, really. But there's not a single person who doesn't need God's forgiveness. There's none of us. We do need to repent of our sins. We need to look at honestly at our lives and ask God to forgive us. And not only to forgive us, but to give us the strength not to go there again. We will, but we're meant to decide not to, and then we're meant to carry on in a different direction. Sin is this blockage, and it prevents a fruitful Christian life. We need to come this morning, I hope, and confess our sins, to turn away from our sins, to recognise that we do displease God, and to recognise that the gods of this world, the Baal God, who's a god of violence, and the Asherah God, the god of sex, these are two gods that dominate our world, and these are two gods that the God of heaven and earth hates. He wants us to have a relationship with him, the true God. He wants us to serve him and go with him and allow him to deal with our sin. God doesn't worry about sin. God's good with sin. He forgives it. What he doesn't do is he doesn't deal with easily with sin that's clogging our lives and messing up our lives. And it doesn't take much. If you've got a white wedding dress on, you've got one mark on the front, then you're not happy. That's my experience. A little bit of sin can go a long way in some situations. So we need to come this morning before God and seek his forgiveness. And I'm pleased to say this morning that Jesus has the power to forgive us our sins. Whoever we are, whatever we've done, it's irrelevant. We can start again and we can begin to serve him. So I'm going to suggest that we sing a hymn and then we're going to get ready for communion, because we're going to gather around the Lord's table and we're going to ask God to forgive us our sins and we're going to seek to move forward, so that our prayers are heard and our lives are fruitful and God's kingdom does come. We're going to be serious about what we do now. And we're going, it's not just tacked on at the end. This is something that we have to do so that we can be fruitful for him in the days that lie ahead. We come to confess our sins and seek his blessing. So we're going to sing How Deep the Father's Love, because Jesus has given us the chance through his death and resurrection, forgiveness of sin and a new life. Thank you. I'm sorry, I forgot to do that. Now, at church meeting on Wednesday night, we agreed that Paula Swift would join us as a member. So what normally happens at a Baptist church, when it's been agreed that you join the church, then the next communion service, you're welcomed into the church by the minister of the day, and then you become a full church member. So I'm going to shake your hand in a moment, and then when we come to serve the communion, I will come and serve you first. Today only. You'll never get this treatment. You'll never get this treatment again. But I will come and serve you, and then the rest of the congregation will be served. But we are honoured to have you amongst us. We are, I think, opening a new chapter in this church. It's an exciting time. And it is exciting to be able to belong to this church as we move forward into the future. So I'm going to ask you to stand, please, Paula. I'm going to offer you the right hand of fellowship. I'm going to welcome you into the church,
and pray and hope and trust that God will bless you and show you what is your niche, what you should do. So if you'd just like to stand there, I'm just going to pray for Paula as she stands here. Father God, we do thank you for Paula, for her faith in you and her trust and confidence in all that you have for her in the future. Lord, we give her to you now and we ask your blessing upon her that she might find rich fellowship and the place and the work that you call her to do here. So bless her, we pray, and all who she loves, because we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
You will get a certificate, no doubt, at some point, but which you can show as ID if you need to, ever. I'm going to read Psalm 51. Now, King David was they always say King David was a good chap, but you know, he lied, he committed adultery, and he killed somebody. And he thought it was okay at first, until it was presented to him as not. And then when he realised what a mistake he'd made, this is what he said. Have mercy upon me, O God, according to your unfailing love, according to your great compassion. Blot out my transgressions, wash away my iniquity, and cleanse me from all my sin. For I know my transgressions. My sin is always before me. Against you, O Lord, have I sinned and done what is evil in your sight. And you are right when you speak, and justified when you judge me. I've been sinful even from the day of my birth, even from the moment my mother conceived me. But you desire truth in the inner parts. You teach me wisdom in the inmost place. So cleanse me with hyssop, and I shall be clean. Wash me, and I shall be whiter than snow. Let me hear the joy and gladness. Let the bones you've crushed rejoice. Hide your face from my sins, blot out my iniquity. Create in me a pure heart, O God, and renew a steadfast spirit within me. Do not cast me from your presence or take your Holy Spirit from me. Restore me to the joy of your salvation and grant me a willing spirit to sustain me. And I will teach transgressors your ways. It's a wonderful psalm. It puts everything in context. And the word iniquity there, I was reading the psalm this week in a commentary. The word iniquity there is actually the word perversity. And it reminds us that we are, you know, we as St. Paul says, we try and do good things, but bad things come out. We try and do this right, and it comes wrong. We are perverse in many ways. And we come this morning to recognise that from the day we were conceived, unlike Jesus, we are in sin. And we need rescuing and forgiveness. And so we come this morning and seek God's forgiveness and God's grace in our lives. We come together and recognise that he has called us. I'm just going to read a few more words, and then Matt's going to come forward and pray us a prayer before we begin taking communion together. So if you truly and earnestly repent of your sins, if you are in love and charity with your neighbours, if you are resolved to lead a new life, following the commands of God and walking in his ways, then draw near with faith. Let's take this sacrament as comfort and growth in grace. Come to this sacred table, not because you must, but because you may. Come not to testify you are righteous, but that you sincerely love our Lord Jesus Christ and desire to be his true disciples. Come not because you are strong, but because you are weak. Not because you have any claim on heaven's rewards, but in frailty and sin, we recognise together that we stand in constant need of heaven's mercy and help. For God did indeed love the world so much that he gave his only Son, that everyone who believes in him will not perish, but will have everlasting life. And so we hear the tradition that's been handed down. On the apostle says, on the night when he was betrayed, Jesus took bread. And when he'd given thanks, he broke it and said, "This is my body broken for you. Do this in remembrance of me." In the same way also, after the supper, he took the cup and said, "This cup is the new covenant in my blood. Do this as often as you drink it in remembrance of me. For as often as you eat this bread and drink the cup, you proclaim the Lord's death until he comes." That's going to lead us in a prayer before we take the communion together.
Lord Jesus, thank you. Thank you so much for what you have done for us. Thank you that on the night in that upper room with your disciples, you knew what a forgetful people we were going to be. And you knew that we would need an action of remembrance, that we would need to remember what you were about to do for us, Lord. You were about to tear that curtain from top to bottom. You were about to cross the chasm of separation between yourself, your righteousness, and the sinful people that we are. You were about to make us a royal priesthood, so that each one of us could examine our own hearts and come before you and make our choice on a personal relationship. How marvellous. How wonderful. What a beautiful thing you have done for us, Lord Jesus. As each one of us comes before you today with this bread and wine, we will remember. Remember the sacrifice you made, and remember the promise that you have made to us. For we will all kneel in the foot of this cross and remember that mercy, your mercy, paid for us. Heavenly Father, bless this communion to us today as we remember with joyful hearts. Amen.
Amen. So after Jesus had given thanks, he took the bread and broke it and gave it to his disciples and said, "Take, eat. This is my body that's broken for you." So if you take that, when we receive the bread, we shall take it immediately and eat it and make our own personal peace with the Lord. I'm going to sweep all the first. I sometimes forget, but not today. Body of Christ broken for you.
Praise to you, Lord Jesus Christ.
After the supper was over, he took the cup and gave it to them, saying, "Drink this, all of you, for this is my blood of the new covenant, which is shed for you and for many for the forgiveness of sins. Do this as often as you drink it, in remembrance of me." We're going to take the cup, and we shall retain the cup, and then together we shall drink the salvation of the Lord. He's not keen, is it? Let me say the blood of Christ has been shed for you. God bless you. Thank you, Matt. blood of Christ shed for us, let us all drink and be thankful. Almighty God, we thank you for feeding us with the body and blood of your Son, Jesus Christ. Through him now we offer to you our souls and our bodies. Let us be a living sacrifice. Send us out in the power of your Spirit to live and work to your praise and your glory. Amen. The disciples, when they'd eaten the meal, they would go out, they would sing a hymn and go out and serve the Lord in the dark world in which they live. So we're too going to sing a hymn. To God be the glory, great things he has done. Our final hymn. And so now may the blessing of God Almighty, Father, Son and Holy Spirit come and rest and remain with us, with those who we love and with those who we should love, now and always. Amen.